Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
All right, yeah. Our roster looks great on paper. Whoop-de-hell. All right. But at the end of the day, we better be a good team. And you start building that during this time of the year.
Get your sorry ass up! Get your sorry ass up!
Doing a lot of talking with somebody that ain't do shit today. Doing a lot of talking.
Do you think you're better than Jarrell Revis is right now?
I'm better than you. My 24 years of life, I'm better at life than you.
Day! Time to go to work!
Hey, 36! I ain't never seen you before, huh? Back up, tell the coach you need some help. We gonna expose you, boy. All right, we're coming at your ass.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Roundtable.
Let's go! What's going on, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Roundtable Podcast, proud members of the Full-Time Fantasy Podcast Network. You can find them at FTFPodNet on Twitter. You can find me, your host, Matthew Bruning, at SportsFanaticMB on Twitter. We are just one of a ton of great podcasts associated with this network, though, some of which are Jim Day of FF Champs, Corey Parsons and Dr. Roto from SiriusXM Radio, Mr. Bob Lung from the award-winning Fantasy Football Consistency Guide and the creator of the Midwest Fantasy Expo, Dwayne McFarland, Blake Sullivan, and a ton of great others, and you can find all of us on fulltimefantasy.com, your one-stop shop for all of your fantasy news, advice, and strategies. We at the Roundtable are also excited to be partnering with expandtheboxscore.com. You can find them at XTBoxScore on Twitter. They have some of the most advanced stats in football, baseball, basketball, and college football. College football stats are extremely hard to find. For just $15 a year, you can look at all of these. I'm telling you guys, it is well worth it. If you like to dive into the analytical side of sports and or for I use it for prospects, college football prospects specifically, it is amazing. It goes down to the minutest of details in this stuff. And again, it's just $15 a year. If you use our code ROUNDTABLE, you will get 10% off of that, which is a steal of a deal, if I do say so myself, and probably the best deal in the industry. So definitely check them out, especially if you want to get a jump on the upcoming draft class. It'll be well worth your time and money. So the combine is just around the corner. We've got just a week away, literally a week from today's episode. We will be talking about combine stuff. The combine will be going on or getting ready to kick off as we've got a combine has moved to prime time. Super excited about that, getting a chance to watch it. But it's Friday, so we've got Mr. Dennis Bennett jumping on with us here in just a second, and we're going to talk about our rankings for the tight end position for the 2020 rookies. It is our Friday show. We've got Mr. Dennis Bennett with us. You can find him at @culture_coach on Twitter. Dennis, what's going on, man? How's your week been going for you?
You know, been a hell of a week. It's been a hell of a week. So we'll just leave it at that.
I hear you, man. I hear you. I mean, I'll give you mine real quick. I've been getting over like some kind of horrendous cold or something. I don't know what's been going on, but it's... I'm right there with you. I'm ready for this weekend to be here so I can just kind of relax and let my body recover and everything else. Wish it was the combine weekend, if I'm being honest with you, because it'd be nice to be able to just sit around and watch some combine stuff with the way I feel. But that isn't here or there. We are going to be continuing talking about our 2020 rookie series. Obviously, a couple weeks ago on Friday, we did our quarterbacks. We are going to do our tight ends today. So not a whole lot of guys. I believe you have 8. I have 9. Pretty much the same guys from the sheet that I'm looking at here outside of our last guys. So there's one difference between us. I have 2 different players compared to your 1. So I'm interested to jump in here and talk about these guys. Let's just kick it off like we did last week, and we'll start with we'll count down from the end. So give me your number 8 tight end for the 2020 rookies.
At number 8, I have Albert Okwuegbunam. I got Albert O at number 8. It's funny. I'm usually the good name guy too. I just haven't practiced it enough.
Oh, I got you. So what about him do you like? Because I don't have him on my list at all. So I'm going to be honest. He's one guy that I have not got a chance to look into. But I'm also going to be honest. I haven't heard a whole lot of people talking about him. So what about him that has kind of caught your interest?
You know, he came off a strong 2018 season playing with Drew Locke, and he looked really good then. With Kelly Bryant last year, and his game didn't take the next step, but he's got good size, good athleticism. I definitely think he's one of those tight ends that you're going to put on your taxi squad probably for a couple years and see if he develops into that guy that can be a contributor. You know, he did show some ability to catch the ball, and I texted you earlier today that I'm only about 8 deep into my tight end review, and that's why I just wasn't comfortable ranking anybody else after these 8 I have on my list.
Right.
And we'll you know, we got a lot of homework to do. The combine's going to play into some things. We've got some time until the NFL draft, and then some time until our rookie drafts. And so I'm willing to let it play out and see how it goes. Right now, I've got the athletic Albert O at my number 8 tight end.
All right, so I've got 9, so I'm going to give my 9 and 8 real quick because we both have the same 7. So at 9 for me, I don't have much on him. You know, as you just mentioned, I'm going to kind of echo that. There's still a lot of homework to do on these guys regardless of the fact that the combine's coming up. And then in between that and obviously the NFL draft, you're going to have pro days as well. So there's still guys that I'm gathering stuff on. Colby Parkinson from Stanford's a guy that I liked just from what I saw throughout the 2019 college football season. I'm going to do more research into him. He's actually a guy that's probably going to be in my tier 3 of tight ends though, because I'm just going to be honest. I don't know if I see a lot of fantasy value for him going into the NFL level. I thought there might have been something throughout the season, but the more I've looked at him here, I'm kind of worried that he won't be. So I'm going to throw him on my radar right now, but he might end up not even being on there as we move forward, as you were mentioning, as we get a chance to do a little bit more homework. My number 8 guy, though, is Jacob Breeland out of Oregon. I love this kid. I'm going to be honest. I feel like I've really gotten a huge fascination here with the Pac-12 After Dark, with my love for Justin Herbert as well, as everybody knows. So I've really kind of fallen for these guys. But Breeland, 6'5", 250. He's a fifth-year senior. He redshirted his freshman year. He did not play at all. Some of his strengths, he's got really good hands. He plays the tight end position like a wide receiver. He's used as a deep threat at times, and he was used all over the field by Oregon. It was really Justin Herbert's best weapon outside of C.J. Verdell. His weaknesses that I have on here, he's not very explosive. He's not a guy who's really going to burn players when he's going deep. He's not someone who's going to get you a ton of rack yards, and he's a god-awful blocker, which is obviously going to be – I was going to say it could be a big hindrance for him at the NFL level, but then again, we've seen guys like Noah Fant and trying to think of someone off the top of my head. Like, I'm going to be honest, Travis Kelce. No, Travis Kelce's a good blocker. I mean, there's some tight ends that we've seen coming out. Evan Engram. Evan Engram is not a good blocker at all. We've seen the fantasy seasons he's put up with the Giants. So I don't know if that's as big an issue now going into the NFL, them being bad blockers, but it does need to be noted because I would think that at times that means they're not going to be on the field. So Breland, not a great blocker. But in 2019, he had, a 19% big 19% big play percentage. What that is for me, how I calculate that, is plays over 20 yards. He had six plays, two of which went for touchdowns in his 19% big play percentage. 7% team scrimmage yards, which is fifth, which is actually kind of a big deal in the fact that he missed a lot of games this year. He tore his ACL in the middle of this season. So he's actually coming into, I don't think he's going to be at the combine, but he's coming into this draft process hurt. Another reason why I wanted to bring him up, I'll get to that in a minute. A 10.4% dominator rating this year, third on his team, and then an 81.3% catch rate. Actually, the best catch percentage of all of the tight ends on here. And the ACL, why I wanted to mention that really quick is with that fact, I do think that means he's going to drop to not being drafted at all in rookie drafts or possibly being a very, very late round pick depending on how deep your rookie drafts are. So that's why I wanted to mention him. It's a guy to watch out for because I do think he has a ton of upside as an offensive tight end in the league, and he's a guy that you can get very late. So then my eight guy was Harrison Bryant out of FAU. Wait, do I have this right? I'm thinking I messed up here. I did mess up. I completely skipped over our number seven because we have the same number seven. So I'm gonna let you give your number seven first because it is the same guy. So who do you have at seven?
I have Thaddeus Moss at number seven. You know, he's got a pedigree and he flashed a little bit this past year at LSU, but outside of that, you know, I'm not sure what all he brings to the table.
Yeah.
Doesn't have tremendous size. He's only 6'3", about 249. You know, he started out at NC State as a freshman. Then he transferred. He really didn't play in 17 or 18. And then last year he did catch 47 passes. But I question how much of that is the fact that LSU threw the ball a bajillion times last year. You know, he played big in big games, and that's what really, I think, brought him to the forefront for a lot of people was the fact that when the lights were the brightest, he made some plays. Now, he wasn't putting up, you know, six catches for 150 yards in those games, but he was making plays. He was getting first downs. He was catching touchdown passes. So he definitely does bring something to the table at that end. It'll be interesting to see how his speed translates and his athleticism translates. You know, I know they've added some new tests to the combine to try to measure a little better, more football-related skills than something like, say, the three cone drill or the 40 yard dash or some of those things that don't necessarily apply to real NFL play. So it'll be fun to watch this year. And I want to see how many of these guys do these new drills and set the baseline this year. Yeah. So with Moss, you know, he's only 6'3 and high 240s. I think he's going to have to show willingness and strength, or he's going to have to show exceptional athleticism. If he's not willing and able to block, or he's not extremely athletic, I don't know that he's going to have the size to be an every down tight end in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on what you just said there with Moss. I was kind of not sure how to rank him. I like him. Obviously, I'm with you. I do think the reason he came out this year, because he could have gone back, obviously, to school. I think part of the reason he's coming out this year is because of what LSU's offense did, and he's trying to capitalize on that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I see him more of a you know, probably like a red zone threat kind of guy and not someone that's going to do much for you in between the 20s and the middle of the field and everything. I think he's mostly just going to be a red zone threat. So I do think landing spot is going to be big for him, in my opinion. So I'm with you. I don't see a lot of fantasy value for him moving forward. I think he's really going to be kind of a guy who's not going to do much for you. He's got the name, obviously being Randy Moss's son and everything, so I do think he brings that cachet as well. Maybe he's a guy who develops, so if you've got a taxi squad, you can throw him on there and kind of let him sit for a couple years and see if he develops into somebody good. But I'm interested to see what he does at the combine, because overall, I wasn't overly impressed with what I saw out of him on the tape for LSU. So I'll give my six now.
Before we move on from Moss, though, and yeah, that's why I mentioned the athleticism, because he has that size, that Aaron Hernandez size.
Right.
So, but he's got to show that he's got the athleticism. It's easy to look at a guy and go, oh, well, he's the same size. He's got the same build. And comp him to that guy. But I don't know. Hernandez was a very athletic tight end. He moved around in a lot of different spots. And yeah, I don't think we've seen that from Moss.
No, I haven't.
The athletic measurements are going to be important for Moss. If he doesn't test very well athletically, I could see him being a mid to late day three guy.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe later. Yeah, that's why I said next weekend will be big for him, and he's one of the main guys that I want to watch, because I'm with you. Like, you could comp him to Aaron Hernandez, and I'm not saying that that's what you are. You're comping him to. I mean, you've seen explosive plays from him on the field in the LSU games, but again, I'm going to say exactly what you said. Is some of that with what LSU's offense was this year? Because we've never seen that out of him up until this year, which is, again, why I think it's a smart move for him to come out, because he's trying to capitalize on his stock being probably the highest it's going to be, which it is right now. And I need to see more of him, because I'm not 100% sold that he's going to produce what I saw in probably 10 to 15 plays on tape with LSU on highlight stuff. I don't know if that's going to kind of transition into the NFL. He's the one guy with Colby Parkinson of Stanford that I'm really kind of worried about. Really, my top six, I think, all have shots to be anywhere from tight end ones to tight end twos. Like, I don't really have that many questions about those guys. But Moss is kind of like where I'm, you know, when we were talking about quarterbacks last week, we kind of get to that one point where, like, yeah, like, I really don't know what these guys are going to be. They're probably going to be backups. That's what I kind of see out of Moss. Like, I have no doubt he's going to be an NFL player, but I don't know if he's going to really register for us fantasy-wise. I don't know if that's going to happen. I need to see more out of him, and I think having a good combine could go a long way toward that. So for me at six, I had Harrison Bryant out of FAU. I know a lot of people might think this is a little bit controversial. I feel like he's kind of all over the place for a lot of people. Some analysts have him up there as their number one, anywhere from number one to four or five. I've got him at six. So 6'5", 240, he's a senior, strengths, really good hands, very good at contested catches. Again, same thing as Breland. He's not necessarily a burner. No, I guess not really. A lot of tight ends are. But he can create some rack. There's a lot of plays that I saw out of him creating a lot of yards after the catch, which I thought was very interesting. He's a bit deceptive and has a decent catch radius. His weakness, again, is blocking, same as Breland's. A 15% big play percentage, 15 plays over 20 yards with two touchdowns. 17% team scrimmage yards. It was first on FAU, and 18.8% dominator rating, which is really good, and I believe the best of this tight end class. There's one player I wasn't able to get these numbers on, so, and I do think he'd have been better than that. So he is my number one with the dominator rating. But just a 67% catch rating, which was kind of worrisome to me. So Harrison Bryant, I like him a lot. Did not play that great a competition at FAU, so that's one of my biggest worries about him. Outside of that and the blocking, I don't have that many questions on him, if I'm going to be honest. So he may be a guy that eventually moves up my board, but I kind of dropped him down here because I wanted to see more out of him. Had a really good Senior Bowl week along with Adam Trautman, who's another guy that you could question the level of competition that they've played. But I do have Trautman higher, so maybe this is not fair to say on Bryant, but he just hasn't wowed me as much as he has other players or other analysts, I should say. So I have him down at six right now. And again, I will say outside of my top three, You know, 4 through 6 are within a hair of each other. I think for me, my top three are my tier one. Everybody else is kind of, top four. 5, 6, I have 9. 5 through 9 are all kind of split within a hair of each other. So who do you have at 6?
Well, for me, my group is like from 2 to 6 really is where it, I kind of have a group of guys that I'm still shaking out. I think they all bring a lot to the table and are going to get good opportunities in the NFL. So there could definitely be some movement here. Number 6, I have Jared Pinkney out of Vanderbilt. He's a fourth-year guy, played all 4 years. He did miss games in 3 of 4 years. His junior year was the only one he played the whole season. And in that season, he caught 50 passes with a 15.5 yard per catch and 7 touchdowns. Are you pulling your Dominator rating and stuff? Is that from Expand the Box Score?
Yes. Okay. I get all of my stuff from Expand the Box Score. Yes, sir.
Okay, I got to get my login for that. I look at Player Profiler, Jared Pinkney has he broke out at 19. He had a 21.9% college Dominator rating. And so I like what he brings to the table. Pretty good size, 6'4", 254. He's going to be almost 23 heading into the NFL season. So I want to kind of see how the process plays out over the next couple months. Like I said, I'm pretty comfortable with my top 8 guys are going to stay my top 8 guys, but I do believe that there's going to be some movement among them. But right now I've got Pinkney, 6'4", 254 out of Vanderbilt at what's that, number 6, was it?
Yeah, 6. So the one thing I'll say about the difference is there. I love playerprofiler.com. I haven't even looked at their stuff yet. I have a subscription with them as well. I believe he does his Dominator ratings as what they did throughout their entire college careers. Expand the Box Scores is based on just that year, whatever year you're looking at. So like the Dominator ratings I give will be different than the ones you're using if you're using Player Profiler, because mine are just based on that year, 2019. So like for instance, because I have Pinkney a lot higher. If I were to tell you his at this year, it was just a 10.6% Dominator rating, and you would be able to tell why if you went back and looked at the stats, because his 2019 season was just not good. I mean, and a lot of the stuff that I would give you on him when we get to him, because as I said, I have him much higher. But the reason Dominator rating is so much higher, I think, on Player Profiler is because of how great a year he had in 2018, which is another reason why I have him so high. But I'll save that for when we get to him, because he is a guy that I really like. So at 6, was Harrison Bryant. So I'll give you my 5, which is Cole Kmet out of Notre Dame. I do like this kid, 6'5", 250. He's a junior. The good thing I like about him, he's a good blocker. So he's one of those well-rounded tight ends. He's got good hands. Really good ball tracker as well, which I think is an underrated skill for tight ends. You know, most wide receivers you see are very good ball trackers, can catch those balls over their shoulders and everything. Kmet did that quite a lot, which, again, I think that's an underrated skill for tight end. Weakness that I have on here for me is just speed, really. And again, that's not that big of a knock on a tight end. So he's one of those guys that, as I was mentioned earlier, there's not a lot separating him between some of my other guys. In 2019, he had a 14% big play percentage, 8 plays, over 20 yards, just 1 touchdown, 11.5 team scrimmage yards, finished 3rd on his team, a 12.4% Dominator rating, which was 2nd on Notre Dame, just behind Chase Claypool, and a 72.9% catch percentage. So a really good year for him. I like Kmet a lot. I'm interested to see what he does at the combine. I want to see if there's a lot of people who think he's going to run fairly fast for the tight end position. I'm interested to see if he does that. Junior as well, as I mentioned earlier. So him and I think there's 3 of them in my list here that are juniors, younger guys, which I actually kind of like the seniors coming in more, because they have just a little bit more seasoning at that tight end position, which hopefully they'll be a little bit more ready to play at the NFL levels. We've seen tight ends seem to take just a little bit longer to develop for NFL standards. So that was my 5. Who do you have at 5?
At 5, I have University of Dayton phenom Adam Troutman. 6'5", 251 pounds. you know, he kind of falls into that competition question. Playing at Dayton, he didn't always play against top-notch competition. But he did go down to the Senior Bowl and comported himself very well. Troutman looked great in the Senior Bowl practices. He was catching everything shown his way. He was thrown his way. He was blocking very well. He looked the part of an NFL tight end down at the Senior Bowl. Caught 70 passes last year, caught 178 passes in 4 years at Dayton. And while you can make the argument, well, what kind of competition did he play? You can also make the argument, what kind of quarterback did he have thrown to him as well? So he did. I do think he showed well that he, at the Senior Bowl, that he'll be able to step up against the competition. He didn't really. He's not registering a breakout age on Player Profiler, yeah. And so he didn't really. And that could be a function of playing in small school. You know, the stats aren't pulling or aren't being scraped.
Yeah.
But they do show him as having a 38.1% college dominator. So at that lower level, you would expect these, you know, the big man on campus like Troutman to post those dominator, high dominator numbers too. So I think he kind of lived up to that billing. So I have Adam Troutman at number 5.
Yeah, so Troutman was the guy for me that I mentioned earlier. I couldn't pull some of these other stats on, and that is why. Playing at a smaller school, college stats in general are very hard to kind of authenticate and everything, so you will not find a lot of sites that have them. I mean, you can go to Pro Football Reference, I think is what it is, or College Football Reference, and they have the stats on there, but they don't have some of these advanced stats. And it's just because they're hard to authenticate and everything, even with big schools. Much less Dayton. So Dayton, I would think that is part of it, but I would not be surprised that his dominator rating is so high, as you just mentioned, because of the talent that he played, and he clearly looked a lot better at Dayton than a lot of other people did in those conferences. All right, so for me at 4, I have Bryson Hopkins out of Purdue, and he's a guy that I could see going higher for me. Just because of how much I like him, but I had to finally find a place for him, and I just kind of settled at 4 for me. So 6'5", 245, he's a fifth-year senior, did not play at all his freshman year, he redshirted. So technically he did only play for 4 years, but he was in college for 5. Great rack ability here, does a ton after the catch, incredible ball tracking skills as well for him, and really strong hands. One of the things I liked about him was some of the contested catches that he had. He was holding on to the ball with defenders all over him. You know, not a lot of tight ends are going to hold on to that throughout the catch, and he did. So I liked what I saw out of him. His weakness, again, is like a bunch of others in this class, just blocking. He's not good at it at all. 12% big play percentage this past year, 11 plays over 20 yards and 2 touchdowns. 17.7% of the team scrimmage yards for Purdue, which was second behind rookie sensation David Bell. And then same in the dominator rating, finished behind him at 17.1% dominator rating this year. 64.9% catch percentage. So like Hopkins a lot. He's a guy that I could see moving up past my third, maybe even my second guy, who we'll get to in a little bit here. But I'm really interested to see what he does at the combine, because I like this guy a lot. And again, as I mentioned, he's a guy who could really move up the board for me. So who is your number 4, Dennis?
Well, speaking of rack ability, I was talking to my wife.
Anyways. Go ahead. I was gonna insert a dirty little sounder there, but I decided to go against it. Go ahead.
My number 4, I have Hunter Bryan at number 4. So he's on the small side, 6'2", 240. He's kind of in that Evan Engram, Gerald Everett kind of mold. He's definitely somebody that's going to need to he's going to need to test well athletically.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to show some speed because he is a smaller guy. He had a 20.9% college dominator on Player Profiler with a 20 breakout age. He caught 52 passes with a 15.9 yard per catch average at Washington. So his career average at Washington was 16.4. His freshman and sophomore years, though, he didn't play. He played in a combined 14 games and then 12 games as a junior, and then he came out to the draft. So I like the profile as somebody that can put up fantasy points, but I could also see it being one of those things where he's just not, he's not fast enough to be a wide receiver, not powerful enough to be a tight end, and he ends up being that tweener that that some non-creative coach can't seem to figure out how to get on the field.
Yeah, I can see that. That's one of my worries about him as well, but I've got him, I mean, I'll just say it right now, he's my one. I love what I've seen out of Bryant from Washington, so I'm excited to see more of him from at the combine, but I'll give you kind of my breakdown of him here in a minute. So for me at three, because my four was Hopkins, my three is Adam Trautman, and I'm pretty much, I mean, you nailed it right on the head with him. Not much for me to add on there to him. I said, really, and the one thing I liked about him is that he was very versatile as well. And some of the stuff, again, it's kind of hard to find Dayton tape. So a lot of the stuff I watched was YouTube stuff. But was very versatile, really good route runner, and a phenomenal catch radius that he had, which I think part of has to do with his background. He was a basketball player as well, so he's really good at jumping. You can see him. I don't even know if it's fair to call it contested catches because he's out jumping some guys, but a really good catch radius. The one thing I'm worried about with him, and again, I know he showed out really well, as everybody has been saying, at the Senior Bowl and the practices and everything, but he hasn't been a tight end that long. He was actually a quarterback all through high school, transitioned to being a tight end once he got to college. So he's still kind of working on the finer points of tight end, something we've talked about, I know, last year. When you look at tight ends coming out of college, it's something you have to watch because there's so much nuances to the tight end position. Not only are you having to learn route running and where you're going with that, but you also have to learn pass blocking and run blocking schemes as well. So it's not an easy position. If people may want to think it is, but it's actually probably one of the harder positions on offense outside of quarterback because you pretty much have to know everything. And so I do think that's, I don't want to say a weakness, but something to watch for him is just kind of him learning the finer points of the tight end position, because he has not been doing it as long as some of these other guys have. So he was my three. Dennis, who do you have at three?
I have Bryson Hopkins at three. There's not a ton for me to add to what you put on the table already. You know, he's a good athlete. He does need to work on holding up in the run game if he wants to be on the field. And,
yeah,
you know, we say it all the time. You can't make plays from the bench. And so, yeah, you can get out there and be that passing game guy, but it really limits your opportunity if you're a one-dimensional kind of player. You know, he's got the size. I think if Hopkins can put on, you know, 5-9 more pounds, get himself up to 250,
yeah,
and just be willing to block. A lot of these guys, it just comes down to the willingness. If you're willing to put in the effort, then you can become serviceable. And if you can become serviceable, it's a lot easier to make those fake blocks and then float out down the middle of the field for, you know, 12 or 15 yards when teams believe you're blocking. Versus if they know you're when you're in there, you're going to be running a pattern, then you're going to get the safety on you that can cover you versus the defensive end that you're going to get away from. So, you know, he's just going to have to grow that part of his game.
Yeah, that's like I said, that was my biggest question about him as well. So my number two is a guy you mentioned already in Jared Pinkney out of Vanderbilt, 6'4", 260, senior. You know, I love this kid. Great. He's a great and willing blocker, which I think speaks good things for him. Great hands, sneaky athletic after the catch, and he was used all over the field. You know, my biggest thing here is obviously he had a really bad 2019. A lot of that I think was due to his quarterback. His quarterback was god awful. Kind of one of the things we talk about with Jalen Reagor at TCU, who had three quarterbacks throughout the season and they all sucked. That's kind of what happened to Pinkney at Vanderbilt. It was just not good for him. But if you go back and look at his 2018 season, he was really good, by far one of the best tight ends, and he was in discussion at being the top tight end that year. But this year, just a down year, 11% big play percentage, 4 plays over 20 yards, 1 touchdown, 6.7% of the team scrimmage yards, which finished 6th on the team, a 10.6 dominator rating, which finished 3rd, and then a 54.1% catch percentage. So the one thing I like about Pinkney, again, is he's good at everything. You know, as I said, a great willing blocker, which I think is going to keep him on the field. If he can do anything like he did in 2018 moving forward, I think that means, in my opinion, he's going to be the top tight end of this class. And one of the things I love about that, though, is he's not being mentioned at the top. He's clearly at below five for most analysts, which I think is a good thing. I think a lot like Jacob Breland I mentioned earlier. That means he's a guy that you can get after a bunch of these guys. I would not be surprised if he ends up being the best tight end of this class. So just a guy to watch for. I think he's going to have a really good combine next weekend. Maybe that'll move him up the board for some people, but definitely a guy to watch. Because if you go back and look at what he did in 2018 compared to what he did in 2019, he looks like a completely different player. So love Jared Pinkney out of Vanderbilt. I think a lot of people are kind of sleeping on his ability if they haven't watched what he did in 2018 and 2019. So who is your number two?
My number two is the aforementioned Harrison Bryant out of Florida Atlantic. One of the things I like about him was that he was always there. He started he played in 10, 12, and 13 games in the sophomore, junior, and senior season, caught 32, 45, and 65 passes. So as a sophomore, playing in 10 games, catching 32 passes with five touchdowns, I'd have to go back and look a little closer, but I think he was the starter then as a sophomore. He's got good size. I'd like to see him bulk up to about 255. If he's 6'5", you know, he needs to get up into the 250s and be able to hold up out there. But he's got a 26.2% dominator rating with a 19.4 breakout age. And it's really going to be one of those this tight end class, like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah,
there's just a cluster of guys in 1 through 8, and it's going to come down to scheme fit and what the NFL coaches think. So we're going to need to keep a big eye on draft capital to see how this tight end class shakes out.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean, I feel like we could say it about every position here. Landing spot could really change a lot of draft stocks, but I really think that's going to change for tight ends, especially, the question I have on here later in a spot that really needs a tight end and uses them very well in the offense. So we'll save that discussion for there. So my number one was Hunter Bryant out of Washington, as I already mentioned earlier. I love what I saw out of this kid last year. As you mentioned, he is undersized, 6'2", 239, a junior. He plays like a wide receiver at the tight end position. He's just incredible after the catch, great hands. But as you mentioned, he struggles at blocking. I do think some of that is just due to the fact that he is undersized. He is not your typical tight end. He is about 3 to 4 inches smaller and probably close to 40 pounds or 30 pounds underweight. So he's not your typical tight end, but just a phenomenal player. I almost kind of look at him as like a Noah Fant type or Evan Ingram. I think that what he does offensively is what's going to get him on the field. And at times when they're going to need him for run blocking, he's probably not going to be there. But what he can do when he's on the field, I think, is going to be really good for fantasy owners. 18% big play percentage this year, 14 plays over 20 yards with 3 touchdowns, 16.2% of the team scrimmage yards, that was second on the team, 16.2% dominator rating as well, which was second on the team, and a 67.5% catch percentage. So really like Hunter Bryant, excited to watch him at the combine next weekend. So who was your number one, Dennis?
My number one is Cole Kmet. He's the best two-way tight end in this class, and right now that sort of gives me the edge for him. As we've talked through them, I got to be honest, I think you're kind of changing my mind on some of these other guys. Sometimes when I'm evaluating, well, I start looking at guys in the whole game.
Right.
And what I have to remember is that in fantasy, we don't care about the whole game. We care about how are you going to produce fantasy points? And I think in evaluating these tight ends, I've got myself wrapped up in potential snap count. Well, I get it. You can't score points from the bench.
Right.
But I'm talking in circles here because you're not going to score points if you're constantly tied up with the defensive end and outside linebacker. You've got to run pass patterns. And so it'll be interesting as I go back and reevaluate these and see. Right now, I think I might be off on having Kmet at one because he is the most well-rounded tight end, I think.
Yes, I agree.
At this point, he's played against great better competition than most of them. He also has played with some pretty crappy quarterbacks.
Yeah.
If we're being fair.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That is very fair.
I have Cole Kmet at number one.
No, and so I don't think Kmet at one is a bad call. And like I said, that's why I've mentioned, you know, Pinckney and Kmet, as you just mentioned, were such good blockers. Because I do think that matters. Because, you know, I'm not trying to compare either one to George Kittle. But that's why George Kittle is on the field for like 95 to 99% of San Francisco plays. Because they don't have to pull him off when it comes time to block in the run game. So it is a very important part. I'm not trying to take that away. And then I think that really kind of plays into what you were just saying as well. Landing spot is really going to be big for some of these guys. Because if you have a Hunter Bryant land and say, hey, I mean, this is going to be a bad example, but let's pretend Travis Kelce's not with the Chiefs anymore. If Hunter Bryant were to land with, say, the Kansas City Chiefs and Travis Kelce were to move on, Hunter Bryant would be right there because he's like, all right, they're clearly going to use him in the passing game, not really as a blocker, and that's what helps him out because he's such a good offensive weapon. So I was just rating it based on, kind of what I thought or what I've seen from the tape that I've watched on them and everything, and not just the overall picture, but I'll agree with you when you said it. Kmet is by far the most well-rounded. There's no doubt about that, which could end up putting him up as the one, and I'll be honest, a lot of people have him up there at one because of that. There's a lot of talk that he'll be the first tight end off the board. I can't remember. I don't think it was McShay. I want to say it was I am drawing a blank now on who is the other ESPN guy? Really big. I cannot remember.
Mel Kiper.
No, wait. Yeah, Kiper. Yeah, it was Kiper who said that he thought Cole Kmet was going to be the number one tight end off the board. And one of the places that he projected him to is a team that I was going to ask you about, so we'll just transition right into that. And that's the New England Patriots. He said that he thought the New England Patriots could take him with the last pick in the first round. So if that's the case, in my opinion, Kmet clearly jumps up to the number one because we know that New England likes to use that tight end position, and we already know what he can do offensively, and you know he's not going to get pulled off the field because he's clearly a good blocker as well. So I don't think that's a bad way to evaluate the position at all, especially this early in the process. There's no wrong way to evaluate the position because there's still so much more data that we have to collect. So do you think New England is going to try and grab one of these guys due to how bad that they've kind of been at tight end since Gronk left and it being such a key part of their offense?
You mean how bad they've been for the whole 1 year since Gronk has been gone?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like longer, though, because Gronk was so good, and it feels like that 1 year like stretched into five or six.
I don't necessarily think so, in part because Belichick and McDaniels, they're probably two of the best coaches at taking what they have and building an offense that can succeed with what they have. So while it's easy to sit here and say, well, who can they bring in to play the Gronk role? They might not be thinking, oh, we need to get another Gronk. They might be thinking, well, Tom's getting old. We need to figure out where we're going to go with this offense. I wouldn't be surprised one bit if they went running back in the first round.
I
know they got Michelle. They drafted Harris. They've got James White. But I could see Belichick going, you know what? Everybody is going to these small defenses because everything's going to the perimeter. So now we'll be able to run on them. I'm not predicting they go running back for the record.
Right.
But if they did, I wouldn't go, oh, I never saw that coming. Because who knows? I honestly, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they trade out of the first round and get more second and third round picks. That's, you know, that's their MO. They don't stay in the first round a lot. That's just not what they do. Occasionally they do. You know, they see a guy that they're like, we're going to make a move because this is the one guy that we need. But I think if they look at their team now with, you know, some of the offensive line needs and over, I don't think they believe that they're just one guy away, that one guy is going to be able to fix it. And so Bill is going to try to find a way to get two or three guys to add with two or three free agents and then mix them all up together and see where does the best position go. how do I put these guys in the best position to win games?
Yeah.
And for him, he doesn't care if he wins by 40 or if he wins by, you know, one. He just wants to win. And he literally would be perfectly happy going 16-0 with a point differential of 16. I think he'd be just fine with that. But as far as a tight end, I could see him taking one of them. But I think he's smart enough to realize he's not going to be able to replace Gronk. And so I don't think he's trying to replace Gronk. I think we are all trying to replace Gronk for him, but I don't think he's trying to replace Gronk.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they trade out of the first either, especially with that horrible pick they made last year of N'Keal Harry in the first round. That was, I think that's going to come back and bite them in the ass a little bit. So I'm just kidding, obviously. I don't know if they're trying to replace Gronk. I would not be surprised if they take a tight end. I mean, I don't think Tom Brady's coming back, as I've made that very clear. So I'm really not that – I don't know if they're doing it as a whole, trying to help out Tom Brady thing. Although maybe they will. Obviously there's still a chance that he goes back. I would say there's more of a shot that he doesn't come back to New England, though. But that's another argument for another time. We spent enough time on that on that one podcast. So last question for you before we get out of here today. Do you think, and if you do, how many tight ends do you think go in the first round this year?
Well, who needs a tight end? So Detroit doesn't, Minnesota doesn't, Green Bay, they're going to let Jimmy Graham go, but they've got
Sternberger and a couple so guys. I think they need
Chicago
one.
Probably needs a tight end.
Yes.
But, you know, coming from the Andy Reid tree, is Nagy going to be looking for a Travis Kelce kind of tight end?
I don't think you so know. Because of how low they're drafting. I don't see a tight end going that high, if I'm being fair for them. So I would say no, they're not going to take one in the first round. I could be wrong, don't think so.
Seattle doesn't. San Francisco doesn't. If the Chargers re-sign Henry, they don't. You know, the Raiders have Waller. So it really comes down to how many teams are really in need of a tight end. I don't know that the tight end class is necessarily that strong. So if I were a betting man, I probably would put the over-under at 1.5.
And take the under?
So – it's tough. I could see it go either way.
I'll take the under. I'll throw my cards on the table. I think it's going to go. I actually don't think one will go in the first round outside of just looking at it here. I mean, the teams that I see that need one badly are all drafting so low in the draft. And I don't see them wanting to trade up into the first round to grab a tight end. There's just so much other talent. You know, with wide receivers, running backs, you've got a bunch of quarterbacks. I think there's a chance that 4 to 5 quarterbacks go in the first round this year. There's so much defensive talent on the board as well with the linebackers, defensive ends, and cornerbacks that I don't think that a tight end goes. I think it's one of those things where they're kind of one of the – they're just kind of pushed into the second and third round. I think a bunch will go on that day two. I could easily see, 3 or 4 going in those first in that second and third round, but I don't see any going in the first round this year. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's probably spot on. Hey, did you see Brian Edwards broke his foot?
I did. That is horrible. I saw everybody kind of reacting to it on Twitter. He's one of those guys that I was watching too. I sent out a tweet earlier that, everybody's talking about the whole Ruggs and Rager and all that. Who's going to run the fastest? Like, I'm really interested in watching those second round guys. And what they do, like the Isaiah Hodgins, Brian Edwards, Salvin Ahmed, the running back, guys like that, because I think they can really kind of boost their stock a lot with what they do here at the combine. So it does suck that I still think he's going to go high because I still have him as one of my better wide receivers in this class. But it does suck that he broke his foot because I imagine that means he's probably not going to be able to do any kind of pro day either before the NFL draft.
Yeah, it's a pretty late in the game to break your foot.
Yeah, I mean, and while we're on news really quick, did you see the, I guess, somewhat good news about the fact that it looks like the Buccaneers are eyeing a 2-year deal with Jameis Winston? So that will be interesting. I think that's probably the the best move for them to go, not lock themselves up long term to the guy. And I wonder if he would be willing to sign that. But that kind of came across as we were recording as well.
Cool. I think Jameis is a perfect fit for that offense.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
As our friend Ashley _EMT, you know, she's definitely on the Jameis Winston wagon. Yes. There in Tampa. So since she covers him, who am I to say she's wrong?
She defends that guy a lot on Twitter, unfortunately, because there's a lot of people coming after that guy. So I see her kind of arguing in his defense, which, again, he's not a bad quarterback at all. Just needs to, you know, throw like 15 interceptions instead of 30. But that's neither here nor there. So, Dennis, I appreciate you jumping on with me today here Friday to talk about our tight ends. We're going to have all kinds of combine talk next week as we're going to jump into it. Interesting that they changed the schedule up and everything's going to be prime time now. So that'll be, I guess, fun for us a little bit. I kind of liked how some of the stuff came out during the day. So I didn't have to sit around all night. Now my wife's probably going to get mad at me because I'm going to sit around all night over the next weekend as I'm watching all this stuff. But I do think it's kind of a cool thing they're moving all that stuff to prime time now. So I'm interested to see all that. We'll definitely do a lot of talk about that next week. I hope you have yourself a good weekend. I look forward to talking to you on Monday.
Right on.
Prepare for glory! I don't know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready?
I came out the womb, I was ready.
And he's hit the end zone for an unbelievable touchdown.
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Throw it up above his head. They can't jump at me. Golly.
Only they tackle him at the 40-yard line. Who can make a play? I can. Who can make a play? I can.